Welcome. It's April 26th, Sunday here. Welcome to our live stream here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Maple Shade, New Jersey. I know this may be one of those Sundays where you're kind of feeling like, I'm glad I'm still in my pajamas, laying in bed, watching church. It's gray outside, it's misty, it's drizzly. But I gotta tell you, I am still missing the fact that we're not all gathering together right now in our sanctuary to rejoice in fellowship. But what we do hope and trust in the Holy Spirit is that this live stream worship service is going to bring the warmth of Christ and the warmth of the body of Christ into where you are as we gather together now.
Hello, I'm Marshall Suplee, and this is my wife, Teresa.
Hi.
And we head up the Young Marriage Group at church. We consider it a privilege. It's something that the Lord brought in our heart about 5-6 years ago. And through the years now, we've had the opportunity to see our newlyweds and young marrieds just grow up and see pass on to the young marrieds at our church, because we had such an incredible experience with it. When we were young marrieds, you know, just about 5 years ago, but
give or take,
it's something that we got to experience and enjoy, and so we just kind of thought it would be neat to have our young marrieds experience the same. And something that we really had prayed about is that not just that we can lead them and facilitate the group, but that they can actually bond together and form their own friendships with each other.
Yeah, and that's definitely happened, I would say. Yeah. And it's just been neat. Even during this time, we miss them so much. We miss our young married couples. These are couples who have just grown so dear to us, and we're so blessed to be involved with them. And so this, we've been meeting via Zoom, and they tend to late. Yeah, and they turn into late nights because once we're together, we don't want to say goodbye.
We planned a prayer evening and spent most of our time just sharing and socializing. And then, of course, we did pray and pray for our church family.
We put that in. Yes, and also just a group that has really bonded in a way that at any point they can get on and say, "Hey, I'm going through this, you know. Anybody have any tips, you know, marital, parenting, just jump on and say, we really need prayer for this," or, you know, so it really has developed into a really unique group, but not an exclusive group. We are open. If a couple wants
Absolutely.
To join us at any
You're welcome.
Time, yes, please do, right?
Yes. We've even upped the age a little bit to the mid-30 range.
Yes. So if you have any questions about that, let us know. As far as the pandemic, we know that everybody has been touched by it in one way or another.
Yeah.
And some of the ways that our family's been affected personally, our son Dylan, you know, and he should be graduating. We should be heading down to Liberty to see him graduate in just a couple weeks with his degree in electrical engineering, but that's not happening until September. And also, I'm a preschool teacher who's no longer teaching, and so I teach from home now, and that's a whole new adjustment. And
but I get the privilege of hearing her teach sometimes.
Yes.
So
he listens to all my stories, and just miss seeing the sweet little faces that I would see every morning. And speaking of sweet little faces, I miss my little Kendall, my granddaughter Kendall, who we see FaceTiming and drive-bys.
Yeah.
We're not driving to Ohio to visit Abby, so that's different, and things have changed for you.
Yeah, I've been praying for her because she's a nurse and has to be there, right there in the, I guess, the front line. And thank goodness Ohio hasn't been hit quite as bad as New Jersey, but praying for her and the other medical community. But as far as being home, for me, I've been working from home more often now, about 3 days a week. And so that's been unique, because in the household, we have Teresa teaching, we have Kevin doing schooling in the living room, and I'm in the office, and Dylan's upstairs in Abby's room trying to finish off his senior year of college. So it's been an interesting, unique experience. But what?
We're also getting the blessing of getting a haircut
for
your son.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The son's giving
this doesn't come easy, you know. That's for sure.
And a big shout out to Emily and Iris, who have been so faithful in childcare for our young married.
Very thankful for them.
They make it so enjoyable for us to be able to gather worry-free because they're taking care of those little ones. So we'll have to include them in our prayer.
Absolutely. Yes, I'd like to pray for our church family. Dear Father, Lord, just thank you so much for just this day that we can come to you, especially during these times, Lord, where we just aren't quite sure of what's happening and what the plans are, Lord, but you know, and it's all something that you are going to be working for good, Lord. We just don't see it yet, but you do know, Lord, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for just our leaders at church. Thank you for Pastor Vince, Pastor Greg, and our staff, Lord. Just thank you for how they are just being part of all this new change of allowing us to be able to minister to our church family through video and through this live feed that they're trying to do now, Lord, that just everything seems like it's just going so well, but I know there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that, and we just thank you for those people involved. And Lord, I just pray you just be with our church family in general, those who are going through maybe some rough financial times right now with layoffs or maybe part-time work or whatever might be happening with their companies. And Lord, with those who may have even experienced this coronavirus, Lord, we heard that there were some cases where we are glad that the one case I heard about and he was healed, Lord, we thank you for that. We just pray you be with those that are also just either sick in our congregation, Lord, and you know, don't really want to go to the doctors at this time or in the hospital right now. And Lord, I just pray you just be with them. I just pray you just continue to be with all of us as we're going through this and through these anxious times, Lord. We just know that you're our rock, and we just thank you that we can go to you in any time, whether good times and bad, Lord. We just thank you that you're there for us, and just continue to allow us to not just reach out to our church family, and just so neat to be able to see the folks in our family just connecting with each other in various ways, but also, Lord, just being a light to our community and be able to spread your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Out of that grave, I'm Kathleen Thompson, the office administrator here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I just wanted to remind you about our online resources. Our church website is ibclife.org. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Download our Church Center app. Feel free to give us a call if we can answer any questions for you. God bless you, and have a great day.
Hallelujah, with everything inside of me. there. This is Pastor Vince here, and I'm in one of my favorite Sunday places. Now, of course, the first place is when we're gathered together in church, and it's great to see you all, church, but then it's also neat to see many of you after church here. And we're here at Maritza's with Larry and Katina, and I'm here with Linda as well, whom you know, and we are just wanted you to see how, you may say, is that Maritza's? Because look at all the front window space, what they've been doing, the differences here, but we know that we've missed you. How are you? You doing okay?
We're trying our best.
Trying our best.
We miss everybody.
And we miss them as well. Linda is with the Maple Shade Business Association. How are the local businesses making out?
Well, it's a struggle, but they're here. They're trying. They have takeout for you. They can't wait to see everybody again. They're looking forward to serving our community. And I am looking forward to getting back to church and then Maritza's after church. So I miss my church family.
There you go. So we just wanted to make a quick little stop in here because we know it's a place that you've gotten used to being at. And is there anything you want to say to our church family?
I miss everybody. I wish this over soon.
All right.
Can't wait to see you back.
All right. So you be praying for them, praying for our community.
Hi, everybody. Nice to be with you. I'm Dave Betts. I'm the Emmanuel Baptist Church treasurer. As treasurer, one of the items I concern myself with is managing church offerings, managing offerings from you, God's people. At Emmanuel, there's a couple ways that we give, and you can even give just from the comfort of your own home. Often we receive checks. If you're so led to give by check, you can do that. You can write a check and send it in the mail to the church office. The church office address is 233 East Main Street, Maple Shade, New Jersey, 08052. The other way to give is electronically. We use a service called Tithely. It's spelled T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, tithe.ly. And that comes in two forms. There's a web-based form where you can fill out a web form. The way to do that is to go to the church website. The church website is a great resource for many things, one of which is online giving. So if you go to ibclife.org, go ahead and scroll down and you'll see a big banner that says online giving. Click that online giving button and you're presented with the Tithely form where you can put in your name, your offering amount. You can choose whether you want to give to general fund or building fund. And then make a note that at the bottom of that form, there's also an option to choose whether you want to use credit card or ACH, which connects right to your bank account. That's the web portion of Tithely. Tithely is also available on a mobile platform. So if you go to the app store for your mobile platform, whether it's Android or iPhone, you can search for the Tithely app, again, T-I-T-H-E.L-Y, and download the app. When you download the app, the first thing you'll want to do is perform a search for Emmanuel Baptist Church, and you'll see Emmanuel Baptist Church, 233 East Main Street in the app. Select that as your church, and then continue to fill out the forms, and you can continue to give that way. Thank you so much for your caring heart. I can tell you that the pastors and all the ministry leaders continue to work hard to minister to you and to this community.
Till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow.
1979, it was the year I graduated from high school, and there was a film, there was a classic scene in it that I think became, you know, probably more watched now with the way media can pull snippets and all. But in that scene, Steve Martin and his girlfriend break up, played by, I believe, Bernadette Peters. And Steve Martin, who is playing kind of the loser role, says, I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I'm leaving. I don't need anything. And then he sees an ashtray. He says, except for this ashtray. That's all I need, this ashtray. I don't need you. And as he starts walking, he sees a paddle ball game. And he says, and this paddle ball game, that's it. The paddle ball game and the ashtray. That's all I need you. That's, and this box of matches here. The matches, the ashtray, the paddle ball game, you know, and the list grows until he finally says, but that's all I need. I'm leaving. And as he's walking out, you hear him going, and this chair, right? He's adding things along the way. The things that are the way our needs kind of transition. Well, we are under stay-at-home orders, right? Many. And it certainly reminds us how we do need each other, right? The tremendous value of encouragement, of affirmation. You know, the way that just being with each other can fill up our tanks mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, right? We hope to be accomplishing some of that with our live stream, right? Zoom meetings and Facebook Live, Bible studies, or this or that. But the power of presence, being in the room with each other, right? It's a very valuable thing. Well, while we don't have that, this is a good time for us to evaluate our relationships. How do we view them? Is my relationship with God the number one priority relationship in my life? And does that relationship then affect how I approach the other relationships in my life? In other words, am I receiving from the Lord and pouring myself into other relationships, or am I drawing from other relationships? Now, don't misunderstand. We need to do both, obviously. God's design for us, we give and we receive like this mutual sense of care. The body says that all the time, right? The scriptures about the body of Christ. But what is our focus, right? Because sometimes, I got to be honest, I can lose my balance. I can lose the right view, and all of a sudden, instead of being purposeful, I'm being needy. And so kind of like Steve Martin, I say, all right, God, all I need is you, Lord. You and me, that's all. And the support of my wife, Greta. But just Greta and you and me, Lord. And Harry, he never approves of anything I do. He's always critical of me. So, Lord, Harry's approval. I don't know who Harry is. Harry's approval, Greta's support, and you, Lord. That's all I need. Plus 50 likes on my Facebook post. But that's it. Just 50 likes on my Facebook post, Harry's approval, Greta's support, and you, Lord. And everybody that I know being happy with me. But that's all. Everybody I know being happy with me, the 50 likes, Harry, Greta, you, Lord. You know what I mean? I can kind of lose my balance, right? It's good to be able to stop and evaluate. And I want to look at three sets of different lives, contrasting sets of lives in the book of Acts. And so I invite you, open up your Bible. By the way, if you don't have a Bible and you're just watching this, reach out to us as a church. We will get you a Bible if you would like a Bible. I always want to make sure we'll get a Bible into your hands, all right? But Acts chapter 8, obviously some of you may be using your laptop or smart Bibles, whatever. But in Acts chapter 8, what's happening in Acts 8, we're going to be looking at verses 4 and following. But Stephen has just been martyred for his faith. He shares his testimony in Christ. He's being martyred for his faith in Christ. And now Paul is going about persecuting the church. He's attacking Christians, trying to shut up the message. And what does it lead to? It leads to Philip and the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. And they were tremendous signs by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to stop and look at that. Philip has gone forward preaching the word, the gospel. What's the gospel? Hey, wherever you are right now, you can have all of your sins completely forgiven. You can receive eternal life as a child of Almighty God by putting your faith fully in the death of Jesus Christ as a payment for your sin and in his resurrection from the dead. That's what Philip was going forward. The message hasn't changed in 2,000 years. That's the gospel. Philip's going forward with that. Now look at verse 6 that we read. And the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to him. Now stop and think about that. Because that's a powerful force, the attention of multitudes, right? Matter of fact, attention can become a raging appetite. I know I've shared before, sometimes I forget how long ago, but a memory I have from my childhood, what I remember most is my dad's action. Because I don't remember a lot of details. What I know is my sisters and mother were at a shower for someone in the family. So all the aunts and cousin lady gals were there. My dad took me and my brothers to be at one of our uncle's house. I just remember my uncles are all playing cards, you know, at the table there. I got their attention. I've got them laughing and doing something. And I just remember my father saying, Vincent, come here. Sit down on the floor next to me. Dad, what? Sit down on the floor next to me. Dad, what did I do? Just sit down on the floor next to me. Dad, what did I do? I know I didn't do anything wrong. And I remember my dad saying, you've been in the center of attention long enough. Boy, it stayed with me. I can remember times in my life when I was on the stage or I was in hearing my dad, he had put it in my head, be careful. That can become a raging appetite. Attention, attention. Be in the center, right? Well, we in the book of Acts, we come to another fellow after Simon and all this has happened. Excuse me, Philip and all this is happening. And this fellow's name is Simon. Not Peter, another Simon, who apparently his father didn't try to teach him like my father tried to teach me, right? In verse 9 of Acts, we read, now there was a certain man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. Now think about that. Think about what this guy has gotten used to. He has become addicted to the attention of the crowds. Their attention is feeding his pride and his greed. He's gaining a lot from it. Well, Philip comes and is preaching the gospel. The crowds are listening to him. Now the apostles come and Peter is laying his hands on people and the Holy Spirit is coming on them and powerful things are happening. And Simon says, I want that. We read there, right, in verse 18. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. See, what is it that Simon is saying? He wants people to need his hands on them. I want people to say, Simon, we need you. I want to be the center of attention. William Barclay says this, Simon was not interested in bringing the Holy Spirit to others, but bringing power and prestige to himself. See, Simon's relationship with them was all about Simon being on the center stage. Peter will have no part of it. And I see Peter in verse 20, he comes to Simon. And I don't know about you, but I hear Peter singing to Simon. He's singing, not really, because he wouldn't be singing this tune because it's from the 80s, right? Was it Robert Palmer or whatever? But I hear Peter saying to Simon, Might as well face it, you're addicted to pride. Might as well face it. I know it's addicted to love, but you know, you're addicted to pride. What does he say? But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Whew. But we see that, and the contrast with Simon and Philip is stunning. Because we go back to Philip, where did we leave him? In verse 8, the crowds, in verse 8 of Acts, it says there was rejoicing in that city. There's crowds praising God. And we see him again now in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 30, where what? We read, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And Luke makes sure we know, this is a desert road. The angel sends him. And verse 27, he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, pay attention to the grammar there, seriously. We are holding in our hands, an English translation of obviously the original words that Luke had written, that there were Ethiopians there. Excuse me, Luke. Luke doesn't say that there was a group of Ethiopians there. Luke makes sure we know there was an, and that word is there, an Ethiopian there, one. In other words, forget about the crowds, will you value one life? And boy, Philip is such an example to us, because Philip goes and he sees the individual. And the man is reading the prophet Isaiah. And verse 29 of Acts 8, the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And I love verse 30. And when Philip had run up, this isn't Philip going, I'm supposed to be, I'm a crowd person. I got gifts center stage. Philip runs up to one life. One life. And verse 35 tells us, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. See, for Philip, it was about Jesus, not about himself. The contrast of Simon and Philip. Let's look at another one. We're going to move our way kind of the opposite. We're not going ahead in Acts. We're going backward. Go back to Acts chapter 4. For in Acts chapter 4, there in verses 36 and 37, we read about a man named Joseph, well known to us as Barnabas. And Joseph, Acts 4:36, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. That should be all of our goals, right? For people to give us the nickname that we're encouragers, right? But verse 37, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here's Barnabas, and Barnabas says, I want to take this and I want it to be used for the body. And he doesn't say, all right, everybody here, I've got hundreds, who wants 100? He takes it to the apostles, says, here, you do with it what you want to do with it. You don't have to mention my name. He didn't do it so that Luke would write a story about him. Just use it how God wants to use it. And then we come to chapter 5, right after that, right? And we come to chapter 5, we read in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and a great fear came upon all who heard it. Again, look at verse 1 there, because the word is there in the Greek that we read in the English. Your translation may say now. New American Standard says, but it's a conjunction. It's there. It's connecting Barnabas' story with Ananias and Sapphira's story in a contrasting way. Here's how Barnabas acted. Here's how they acted. But there's a significant difference, right? And what was it? The fact that it wouldn't have been wrong if they only gave half, right? They could have sold the land and said, we're giving you half of the proceeds of the land. But they wanted to have the praise of men and make it like, look, we gave all of it. The New American Standard Bible has the study Bible has a note there and says, the love of praise led to the first recorded sin in the life of the church. Think about that. It was because they wanted praise. And the Holy Spirit, because he wanted the church to know from the very beginning, this is not about building kingdoms for men or women. This is about building the kingdom of Jesus Christ, right? See, Barnabas was pouring into relationships like Philip. Ananias and Sapphira were trying to draw from relationships like Simon. Again, it's going to happen mutually, and it should. We encourage each other. But what was the intention, the purpose, the focus? And see if that third set of contrasts. Go back to Acts chapter 1. And we see Matthias and Judas. In Acts chapter 1, I want to begin with Judas on this one. In verse 16, Peter stands up and he's speaking. There's about 120 of them there. And he says, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Now hold your place there for a second, because Peter's going to be pulling out a verse out of the Psalms, right? Peter's going to be pulling a verse out of Psalm 109. But he's talking about Judas. Who is Judas? We all know who Judas is. As a matter of fact, Peter, back there in Acts chapter 1, in those verses, in verse 18, when he's referring to what Judas did and was known for, he refers to the price of his wickedness. The price of his wickedness. Judas was known for being the picture of acting for self, selfish gain, right? That's what we know. We see that in Judas. There are different opinions about Judas. Stay with me in Psalm 109. I haven't got there yet. You can tell this is live, all right? But we see different, like, there are those whose opinion of Judas is that Judas, his motives were more for Jesus. He believed Jesus really could take over and defeat the Romans. And so Judas was forcing Jesus' hand, in essence. But even if that's the case, what does it show? Judas was putting his pride ahead of Jesus' plan. See, it's about Judas, not about Jesus. That's what we see, right? Well, Peter now, Judas takes his life. Jesus has been with the disciples for 40 days. He ascends. And Peter now, that the Holy Spirit puts that verse on his mind. What is it? Psalm 109, verse 8. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Now, if you're reading that psalm, there's no way you would think, oh, that refers to Judas, right? No, but why does Peter pull that verse out? Remember what we're told in Luke and in Acts, that Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection and before he ascended doing what? Sitting there with the disciples saying, let's look at Genesis. Let's look at Exodus. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's look at the book of Daniel. And Jesus spent time showing them, look at the Psalms, how it all pointed to him, how he fulfilled the law and the prophets. So Peter sees that, and Peter says, we have to replace Judas. That verse was prophetic. And so back there in verse 16, he says, right, that we, you know, it was foretold that we need to replace him. And so they have requirements for who are we going to replace him with. And look at the requirements. Really, look at the requirements for what it would be to replace one of the apostles. Verse 21, it is therefore necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, not Barnabas, Barsabbas, not Barabbas, Barsabbas, right? Who was also called Justice and Matthias. Now, I want you to think about it for a second, those verses, because what's it saying? It's saying that the apostle that they're going to now choose has to be somebody who has been with Jesus as long as Judas had. In other words, somebody who's been following Jesus since the days of John the Baptist. Which means what? If I'm Matthias, I was there when Jesus picked the 12 disciples. He didn't want me back then. He didn't need me then. Oh, now you need me. Now that Judas is, I knew I should have been on a team before Judas. I could have told you that. Right? That sense of pride. We just finished the NFL draft. I haven't paid any attention to what the Eagles have done. I don't know if they've done anything that was questionable. If you believe that, you don't know me at all, right? And the draft. But my point is that we just finished the NFL draft, and there is no doubt a group of brand new NFL players who are sitting there going, oh yeah, I'll remember those 17 teams who didn't pick me. When I play each one of them, I'm going to show them they should have picked me and not the guy they did pick. And I'd love to leave it with football players, but the reality is I got the same pride in me. I know some of you have heard me share before that I remember when I played college baseball. When I say I played college baseball, I want to be honest with you. I was on my college baseball team. I had a good glove. I could field well. I didn't have much of an arm. So you need both, right? But I could field well. I was the backup third baseman. I couldn't hit a curveball. As a matter of fact, a college curveball, I was sometimes, diving out and then hearing the umpire say strike, and that's kind of embarrassing. But I could bunt. Mostly, I could run. So for our college baseball team, I was designated to be the pinch runner. And back then, you could pinch run several times in the game. Well, our college had an outbreak of salmonella food poisoning. Half the baseball team got wiped out, including the starting third baseman. So I went to we had a game that day, and there were guys getting on the van in uniforms that were not on the team. Half our team was gone. So the coach had to grab people out of, just out of the student body, and hey, we need some guys. And we got to the game, and he announced the starting lineup, and I wasn't starting. There was somebody starting at third base who had never been on the team. He was plucked out of the student body for this game, and he was starting in front of me. And I said, Lord, thy will be done, right? No. I sat there, and when that guy came up to bat, he took three pitches, and he struck out on three pitches. And I went, yes, yes. Next time he came up to bat, he struck out on four pitches. Yes. Third time he came up to bat, he struck out on three pitches. Justified, right? What am I talking? My pride. My pride. You didn't want me? I can look back and say, if I were the coach, I wouldn't have wanted me batting either because I couldn't hit a college fastball or curveball. But at the time, pride. I could picture Matthias saying, do me a favor, take my name off that list. I wasn't good enough for Jesus the first time round. But all we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 26 is they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He moved ahead. Whatever Jesus wants. I think there's a key truth that separates these sets of lives, and I believe it's this. They were committed to the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. For what do we read in Mark chapter 12 and verses 29 through 31? We read there, let me find it here, Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answered, he's asked about the most important commandments. The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. Verse 31, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's a couple points I want to make, and the first is this. Verses 29 and 30 must come before verse 31. And you say, we know that in math. There are some people who get the gospel mixed up with verse 31. Verse 31 is not the gospel. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Flows out of the gospel. And stay with me, because we're going to see that, right? But the gospel is not about how you treat other people. Now stay with me. The gospel is completely about how God has treated you. The gospel is about God's act on your behalf, not your act on somebody else's behalf. And so we have to remember that. There are atheists who love others as they love themselves. There are atheists who are kind and good and caring, and that's wonderful. But for those who respond to the gospel, there's an understanding of this. How much I love other people cannot erase my sin. The only thing that can erase my sin is how much God loves me. And when I respond to the gospel that God saw me in my sin and God chose to act on my behalf, and I go forward with that truth and I respond to it, oh Lord, I believe that Jesus paid the price for my redemption. You have allowed me through faith now to enter into a relationship where I can do what? Love you, God, with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. That's the gospel. That's what's at the heart of these guys. I'm not going to look at each one of these verses, but in chapter 1, what were they doing? They were witnessing to the lordship of Jesus. In chapter 4, they were witnessing to the resurrection and the lordship of Jesus. In chapter 8, Philip was doing what? Preaching about the message and the resurrection of Jesus. For them, verses 29 and 30 of Mark 12 came first. It starts with loving the Lord your God. And so evaluate that in your life. Is your relationship with God the number one priority relationship in your life? Because that's where it starts. Then we look at Mark 12 and verse 31, and we say this, that must follow verses 29 and 30. Verses 29 and 30 come first, but that must follow. If you have responded to the gospel, you must love others. It has to flow out of you. Because that's what happens. We elevate Jesus and his lordship. And when we elevate Jesus, when he becomes the one who our heart and soul and mind and strength loves, then we realize that must result in an attention and a care and a investing and a pouring into other lives. Not for ourselves, but for God's glory. For their gain and God's glory. That's why in John chapter 3 and verse 27 we read, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, and so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. See, when I understand the gospel is about God's love for me and I respond to it and I love the Lord my God with all my heart, then I must respond out of that with saying, okay, Lord, now my focus is going to be to love others. Not for my gain. Not for my gain. When we see God made it all about us, then we make it about others. I want to finish with a story, and I bet my wife is watching, thinking, I bet you I know what story he's going to read, because she knows how often I've turned to this, because I still feel it impact me the way it impacted me in 1980 when I read it for the first time, whatever, Chuck Swindoll's book, Improving Your Serve. I don't know if this little fella, Chad, is fictional or he was real. Chuck Swindoll is quoting this story from someone else. Little Chad was a shy, quiet young fella, and one day he came home and told his mother he'd like to make a Valentine for everyone in his class. Her heart sank She thought, I wish he wouldn't do that, because she had watched the children when they walked home from school. Her Chad was always behind them. They laughed and hung on each other and talked to each other, but her Chad never seemed to be included. Nevertheless, she decided she would go along with her son. So she purchased the paper, glue, crayons, and for 3 weeks, night after night, her son Chad painstakingly made 35 Valentines. Valentine's Day dawned, and Chad was beside himself with excitement. He carefully stacked up the Valentines, put them in a bag, bolted out the door. His mom made him some cookies, and kind of like, in case this doesn't go well when he comes home. It hurt her to think that he might not get any Valentines. That afternoon, she had the cookies ready. When she heard the children outside, she looked out the window, and sure enough, here they came, laughing and having the best time, and as always, there was Chad in the back. But he walked a little faster than usual. She fully expected him to burst into tears as soon as he got inside. His arms were empty, she noticed. No Valentines, and when the door opened, she choked back the tears. Mommy has some warm cookies and milk for you, but he hardly heard her words. He just marched by. But then she noticed his face was lit up. It was a glow. And he said this, not a one, not a one. I didn't forget one of them, Mom. I didn't forget a single one of them. No matter how many times I read that story, it makes me say, oh Lord, take this 59-year-old heart. Oh God, change us, change me. Let this be a time where we evaluate our view of relationships in our lives. Let this be a time where we find ourselves wanting to be like Philip, Barnabas, and Matthias, where, Lord, we put you first. And when we get the chance to go be with each other more, when we get to fill the room with the presence of loved ones, let it be intentionally, Lord, that we will pour into others and then be blessed when it's poured back onto our shores. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
For our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. Sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved.
I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I can't. Paid my ransom.
Well, we trust that the Lord has allowed us to bring his truth and joy into your home where you are. We want you to know that we miss you. And I want to say to you, folks, I know it's sometimes it's hard to communicate a need, but if you need help, please tell us. Please don't sit there suffering. Let us know you need some groceries, some medical supplies, some help with, you know, milk or gas or whatever. Please let us know. We have folks who are standing by ready to help facilitate that on your behalf. Until we see you again, we want you to know that we love you. May the blessing of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide on each and every one of us, both now and until Jesus Christ comes again, and then forever.